Turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin with verse 35. I have a question for you this morning. Would you like to work in the high echelons of the kingdom? Would you like to have a position there? In the kingdom of Jesus Christ that is coming, when heaven comes to earth, when the Lord comes back, He is going to have many people work in His government. Literally. And you can deserve a place in that government by what you do today. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because that's the question that Jesus takes up in this parable. We've been doing a series on the parables, and now we've come to the parable of the waiting servants. So if you would read with me this first slide, I would appreciate it. Read it aloud. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. And he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that may be opened to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now remember that a parable is a story that is made up in order to illustrate an absolute truth. What Jesus is talking about in this parable to his disciples in the hearing of a great multitude of people who are listening, Jesus explains to them how you can have a high position in the kingdom that is coming. When this life is over, there is a literal kingdom coming on the earth. It's called the millennial kingdom. You can find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 21, 22. It talks about the millennial kingdom. And also the book of Ezekiel talks about the millennial kingdom, and even gives the names of places of that kingdom. Well, if you would like to have a place in the administration, you can have. And Jesus explains in this parable how that you can have a position there. Do you know how many federal workers there are in the United States government? About 3 million. In the last 2 years, it's dropped considerably, and there's still about 2.7 million workers in the federal government, excluding the military. And so if you want to have a position in the federal government, well, there are a lot of positions. And if you qualify, you can apply for those positions, and many of those jobs are great jobs. You may have to go to Washington, D.C., but there are many jobs around the United States. Now, I'm not the human resources person for the federal government. What I'm trying to do is illustrate to you that governments do have administrations, and they have lots of workers. Jesus has a great administration that is coming. It's called His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard that phrase before? The kingdom of God. It's a literal kingdom. It's not an ethereal kingdom. It's not some fantasy. It's not a myth. It's a real kingdom. When Jesus comes back, He's going to set up that kingdom. And you can work in that kingdom. You can have a job there. You can have a status, a place of honor there in that kingdom. Now you notice it says they gird their loins and they trim their lamps, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's go to the next slide, please. Read with me. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. The word blessed means ecstatically happy. Go on. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man, you see that phrase, Son of Man? Have you seen that phrase before? It's very common in the book of Mark. Son of Man is talking about the person Jesus Christ. It literally means a quintessential man. And of course, that's what the Lord Jesus is, the quintessential man of all history, of all time. And so when the Son of Man comes in that hour, He's going to come when you don't expect Him to. He's going to come like a thief in the night. A thief does not announce when he's coming, by the way. And so it will be when Jesus comes. It will be unexpected. And so before us, again, is a parable of our Lord Jesus. This story that's made up to tell us this very important insight about the kingdom. Every parable, and Jesus uttered about 50 parables. Every parable is to the disciples. They are the audience. Are other people standing around? Yes. But always, Jesus said, His parables are for the disciples. And they are to give insight to the disciples about what He's doing in the kingdom, in regard to the kingdom. Well, so too, this parable does the same thing. It's intended to warn and encourage us about the kingdom work in which we are engaged today. Now, what is the kingdom work that we're engaged in today? Well, we have many instructions in the New Testament as to what we ought to be doing to occupy until the Lord comes. We ought to be praising the Lord. We ought to be sharing our witness. We ought to be treating one another with honor. We ought to be greeting one another in love. We ought to be sharing the gospel. We ought to be living the Christ life. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And those of us who take that seriously will find a place of high regard in the kingdom of Jesus Christ when He comes. Of the countless number of people who are saved in all ages from the time of the beginning of mankind until the time the Lord Jesus comes back on earth when He comes, all those people are involved in the kingdom of God if they're following God. For a time, heaven will be on earth. And that period of time will be called the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Only the disciples of Jesus will work in the government. Now, there are many, many people who accept the free gift of eternal life and who never have any intention of following Jesus Christ. They just like to have the gift of eternal life. Well, that's reasonable. It's reasonable to want to go to heaven. But Jesus is talking in this parable about people who not only get saved, but also follow Him. In other words, become disciples. And if you do follow Him, there is a special reward for you. This is what He's talking about in the parable. In the very middle of the parable, Peter asked Him, Lord, who are you talking to here? Are you talking to us, the disciples, or are you talking to everyone who's standing here? Jesus didn't answer the question. He went on explaining the same subject that He just took up. Not everyone in the kingdom has worked for Jesus in our present world. Now that may seem confusing because we kind of think of Christendom as a lot of people who are following Jesus or somehow are involved in Christianity. I want to make clear to you that there is a very clear definition between those people who are saved and those people who are saved and following. There's something quite different between them. The second group are called disciples. And I hope that you're one of them. Some people have taken the gift of eternal life freely, and you can do that. Jesus said, take the water of life freely. He offers everyone the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever repented, worked hard, went to church every Sunday. Oh, I got off track there. Let me do it again. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life. Period. Now, it is true that probably most of the people who reside in the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be there because of that free gift that they accepted. It doesn't mean that they'll be working in Jesus' administration. This is what the Lord wants to make clear to us here. Now, it often happens people get saved and then they just go right on living their lives self-centeredly, ignoring the ways of Jesus and the works of Jesus. And you will still go to heaven. But there will be a demarcation between the people who follow the Lord and the people who don't follow the Lord. Since the beginning of time, Jesus has been ruling over the world that He created. He's been superintending His kingdom. His kingdom does not begin when He comes back. His kingdom has been going on ever since the beginning of time. Everything that the Lord Jesus has superintended and ruled over and been potentate over is His kingdom. Not everyone has followed Him, however. As a matter of fact, most of the world population in history has not followed God. Mankind generally is in rebellion against God. But in all time, Jesus has been ruling His people. And it's called the kingdom of God. In Eden, Jesus walked in the garden superintending His kingdom. That's what He was doing. And when God dispersed the population of the entire earth, and over the entire earth, well, He was superintending His kingdom. He was working out His plan. When God brought a great flood to deal with universal sin on the earth because of its great violence and rejection of God and His ways, well, He exercised His work in the kingdom. He didn't give up being king. He continued to rule. When God gathered the Jews and brought them out of slavery, when He established Jerusalem as the world capital, when He sent Himself through a teenage girl to be a human to come alongside us, which we celebrate at Christmas time, He was working His domain. He was working His kingdom. And when He wept upon the sight of cresting the hill where you could just begin to see Jerusalem in the future, and He began to weep and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, that you would have come to me and I would gather you." And when He was weeping, it was the heart of the King who was ruling the world. The kingdom of God. But they rejected Him, even though He was working the Father's kingdom then. I want you to notice this verse in the Bible where Jesus tells a little bit about this. He explained at one time, "My Father is always at work to this very day." In other words, He's been working. And to this very day, He is still working. "And I too am working," Jesus says. Why? Because Jesus is working His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. In every age of history, God has been working and expecting His servants to work with Him. And God has had many very good servants, and some who failed, and I'm one who failed, and I get back up, but I'm still working in the kingdom. In every age. And my question to you is, are you a kingdom worker for Jesus today? Or do you just go to church occasionally? I mean, do you live the Christ life? This is what Jesus is talking about in the parable. Are you living your life selfishly without regard to the work that He is doing in the world today? And if you want to have a significant place in the administration of the King, when He comes back, Jesus is teaching us from this parable some very important things. He gives three qualifications of who can apply for a job. Who can be honored in the kingdom? Not everyone will be honored in the kingdom. Now I know that you've probably been told, well, when life's over, you just go to heaven and it just whatever happens, happens. The Bible reveals far more than that about what this life is going to be like. Because there are a group of people, a large group of people, who are going to work in the administration of Jesus Christ. How do you qualify for a position? Well, I want you to see from the Word of God, not my opinion, but I want you to see from this parable. First of all, the people who are expecting Him to come will definitely qualify for a special position in the kingdom. That's what he talks about in verse 36 and 37 you just read. Secondly, the people who are ever ready, And he talks about that in verses 38 and 40. People who are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the engrossedly employed. People who are very much working already in the kingdom of God in this present day. At the end of this age that we are living in now, Jesus is going to return to planet Earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom. It will be on this same earth that we're on now. And it will be a very real place, just like the United States of America is a very real place. The place that Jesus talks about in places that I've already referred to in the scriptures are not fictitious. They're real. And Jesus will indeed establish them and do exactly what he said he would do. Just as millions of people work for the United States government, there will be a myriad of people who work in the administration of Jesus in the great kingdom that is coming. That's the subject, as I said, of this parable. First of all, the people who are expecting him to come, he tells how you can tell if someone is an expectant person. You know, we have some mothers who are expecting. They're having a shower here today. And we have some mothers who are expecting. Well, when it comes close to the time, at the end of the third trimester, ladies begin to be more careful about where they go and how far away they get from the hospital and so forth. Because they're expecting something could happen soon. That's very significant. Jesus says in this parable that if you're expecting the Lord, then you qualify for special status in his kingdom. Workers are people who are not in their pajamas. Well, if you notice, he said in there, the people who have their lamps already burning and the people who gird their loins. Now, I don't know if you ever girded your loins, but I want to explain what that means. If you lived in Jesus' day, you wore a robe, and the robe went down to your ankles, and everyone wore very similar clothes. Some more expensive cloth, but similar. And it was kind of a tunic, and it was somewhat confining if you were very active. And so in order to go to work, what you would do is you would bend your knees slightly, you would reach between your legs, you would get the back hem part of your rope, and you would pull it up as high as you could like this. And you would have a leather belt on, and you would stuff that down in your leather belt. No longer did you have on a skirt, now you had on a pair of pants. So that you would be free to work. If you needed to run for the master, then you could run. If you need to go on an errand, you could go on an errand. If you needed to carry a basket of fish, you could carry a basket of fish and not fall down and be encumbered by this tunic. And so when he says, those who have girded their loins, in other words, they're already working. If you walk down the street in an ancient city in the day of Jesus, you would see many, many people who had their loins girded. You would know who's at work. You would just see how they arrange their clothes to tell who is at work. Today, if you go through a city and there are construction workers there around about, you would know who they are. Who are they? How do you know a construction worker? Yeah, they got a hard hat, they got boots on, they're probably wearing jeans or some special. Well, that's what that was like. I mean, you could spot the people who were already working because of how they were dressed. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. You can have a special place in the kingdom if you're already at the work of Jesus Christ, if you're not ignoring him and his work. And then he talks about the lamps being burning. Well, when we go in a room, we flip a switch and it's instant. But you see, in the ancient world, when the master came home and he's hungry, he's been gone, he wants supper, it might be, and he gives three shifts here. Did you notice that? First shift, second shift, third shift. First shift is from 9 p.m. to midnight. The second is from midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning, and the third is from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning. Most people don't want to fool with that. They've got their pajamas on. The Master says, the Lord Jesus said, when I come, I want you to be ready, working, and ready for me to come. The people who qualify to be great in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to actually be honored by Jesus Himself, are the people who are working now. Now that brings me to the question that's obvious. Are you working now? Do you have a ministry? Are you acting like a disciple of Jesus Christ now? Or will you be ashamed at His appearing and say, oh, I didn't think you were coming yet. If I'd known you were coming, I would have gotten ready. That's exactly what He says. He does not want that attitude. He wants us to be ready. So are you expecting? Are you dressed for the occasion? Jesus was making clear that only those who are busily employed in His work when He comes will qualify to be in the King's administration. The waiting that He refers to is a kind of waiting that might be different than what's in your mind right now. It's not passive waiting. It's what He calls occupying until I come. And what He means by that, those who are actually working, in other words, you're actively waiting. You're working at what you should be working at when He arrives. And that's how you're waiting. There's an American proverb that says, when the cat's away, the mice will... Yeah, same idea. And there are many people who have the free gift of eternal life. It's absolutely theirs. It's absolutely free, and they will not lose it. But they're not going to have an honored position in the kingdom because they really don't care about the King. For those who are busy now doing His work, His kingdom work, He Himself will gird up His own loins, it says in the parable. It says the Master will gird up His loins, and what will He do? He will serve those servants, the ones who are working. There's a second qualification, and that is being ever ready. It's kind of related to the first one. The timing of His coming is humanly not discernible. You know, there are all kinds of people, religious people, who set dates all the time. Jesus is going to come this time, Jesus is going to come that time. They do that all the time, which is really destructive to the veracity and the credibility of those who preach the gospel. Because when they miss those dates, every time they miss them, there are skeptics out there saying, see, there's no God. These people are lying and they're charlatans. And we all get grouped together. He says, make sure that you're ever ready. No one knows when the King is going to return. Now, there's a hint in the parable that it's going to be a long time. Because remember, I just explained to you that there's a first watch, a second watch, and a third watch. The disciples that Jesus was talking to that day really expected Jesus to come back right after the resurrection. Now it's 2,000 years later. He never said it would be the next day, the next week, or the next year. As a matter of fact, He has hinted in this parable and other places that it's going to be quite some time. And it has been quite some time. The immediate application of the parable is that the Messiah has already come. When Jesus was standing there giving this parable, He had already come. He was standing right in their midst. They didn't know who He was in His first advent, the first time He came. As a matter of fact, He gives some scary kind of things about what's going to happen to these people as a result of them not being ready for His first coming. This parable, interpreted correctly, is not about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And He is saying before the very people who violate His kingdom, He's talking to them directly, they don't get it. Because He came. It's been 400 years since God has talked to anybody on earth. Here it is in the darkness of time. And he's standing in the midst of the Jewish religious leaders offering himself as the Messiah, and they don't even recognize who he is. The parable is really about that event. But the parable also applies to the event that we're going to experience. Because when he comes, the same thing's going to happen. The same will be true of Christendom in the second coming too. The world mindset will be just like it was in the days of Noah. Have you read that in the scriptures? Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. What was it like? Well, God was almost totally rejected on the earth. God was laughed at on the earth. His kingdom was reduced because of the rejection of people, though Jesus has always been in control. Jesus will let you go your own way if you want to, and he let the population do that. Woe to those who go their own way and reject Jesus Christ. But that has happened. And he said the world will be full of violence, just like it was in the days of Noah when he returns. Luke 17:26, I'll quote it. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in those days in the Son of Man when he comes. Now, my friends, don't misunderstand. For those disciples who are engaged and engrossed in Jesus' work now, he will honor them. He will honor them at his wedding feast that is coming, because he's preparing it. He will gird up his loins and he will highly honor those. And then I come to the third and last qualification, and that is those who are employed and engrossed in employment now. I know there are people who say, well, there's going to be a period of time, you know, that you can kind of make up with God because he'll be mad. And when you die, and when he comes, and you can kind of work hard. They call it purgatory, and some other religions call it other things. But they say, you know, you'll have a make-up time. You're not going to have a make-up time, friend. Not going to be a make-up time. This is your make-up time. Right now. What is your attitude about your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's your work now. What is your attitude toward those who are lost without Christ? That is your work now. It's my work now. How am I taking my life and presenting it to those around me that Jesus is in my life? How do I break the ceiling, the glass ceiling, so that I actually talk to people about Jesus? You struggle with that? Continue to struggle. It is your work and it is my work to do the Lord's kingdom work until he comes. Do you want to be honored by Jesus when he comes back? Now, I'm going to say this as clearly as I can say this, because you probably, maybe, have never heard this before. And so I want you to grasp this. There will be a dividing of the faithful and wise from the squatters. There will be a difference, a sort of caste difference. Those who love Jesus Christ and have demonstrated their love for Christ now are the people who are going to be honored by Christ. You don't have to be a serious follower of Jesus Christ to go to heaven. That may sound blasphemous to some people, but I really mean it when Jesus said that he gives the water of life freely, freely to anyone who will believe. And believing is the only requirement. That's what the Reformation was about. To believe in Christ alone, with faith alone. And thereby you will go to heaven. You don't have to be a serious Jesus follower to go to heaven. You do have to have that gift. But my friends, I highly recommend that you be a Jesus follower. I'm asking you to do this. Give your time, your talent, your treasure to Jesus. Give it all to Him. And He will turn it back over to you. He will turn it back over to you. The way that works is, I've had kind of a sad month because I had to give up my red Jesus car. You know what I'm talking about? I love my red Jesus car because it wasn't mine. I was a steward of it. And because the Lord gave it to me, I loved it. And He put me in charge of it. But the day has come that I have another car. And I took Jesus' money out of the bank account that has my name on it. And I took Jesus' money to the dealer. And I gave that money to the dealer and I got a new Jesus car. It's not my car. That woman right there, as much as I love her, is not mine. She belongs to Jesus. And all my kids belong to Jesus and all my grandkids, as many as there are, they belong to Jesus too. My house belongs to Jesus. And everything that I have belongs to Jesus. Because, you know, that's exactly what this passage is talking about. You will become a steward of the Lord's things. They don't belong to you. So you don't have to freak out when you lose them. Somebody hit my car with a Kroger buggy. Oh man, I can... You know, I just say, Jesus, somebody hit your car with the Kroger buggy. Now, that is humorous, and I often think about that, but that's really true. Your stuff's not your stuff. Jesus just put you in as the manager. That's it. When He comes, He's going to glorify you according to how you have glorified Him in this age right now before He comes. Time, talent, and treasure is what God has given you, and He wants you to give it back to Him. There's a lot of people, they tip God. They come to church once or twice a month. They never even think about the Lord Jesus and His kingdom. True disciples constantly think about the kingdom and what God is doing. Constantly. They're in prayer every day. God brings events into their life. He's engaged with them and they're engaged with Him. And they're working the kingdom. I hope that's you. Because if you are working the kingdom, you will have a place of status in that kingdom. And I'm talking about not a fairy tale kingdom. I'm talking about a real, literal kingdom. And Jesus is coming back. And He's going to need people in His administration. Because He is designed to do it that way. How are you doing? Are you following Jesus seriously? You're just kind of, well, you know, I do what everybody else does. You go to church occasionally and act religious. Or are you really following Jesus? Let's stand and sing together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I think we have a slide for that in case you don't know the... Here it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Every day of your life, Jesus is designing for you opportunities to work in His kingdom. When you go to work, there are opportunities right there to work in His kingdom. When you go home, there are opportunities right there with your kids to work in His kingdom. Because those little types are His resources. God, on Friday, when it's the last... Most people live for Friday. You know, we even have sayings about that. Thank God it's Friday. We don't live for Friday. We live for eternal life. We have eternal life. Every day is life. It's His life. I'm telling you that every moment of every day and every place, you can do Jesus' work right there. And I'm asking you this morning to make that commitment. Not to me. Between you and the Lord, because I want to see you in the administration. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will give us grace and understanding. Courage. Courage, Lord, that we'll be like the Lord Jesus so that we won't obey our fears of what other people think. But that we will do what Jesus did. Boldly and lovingly live out the kingdom life. Thank you for this parable, Lord. And I pray that you will use it to spur us, to goad us, to encourage us, to love us, and to living for you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those who visited, thank you for coming today. Make sure you sign our guest list so we know that you're here.
Tables and chairs.
Yeah, we need help with the tables and chairs.